selling smoothies is what I do. But for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Brian Entrekin.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Entrekin, a.k.a. KC Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at BDEntrek, B-D-E-N-T-R-E-K. Hope you all had a great Monday, full day of action, tons of fun stuff, tons of news. Got that coming up for you. But I'm here to recap Monday, get you ready for Tuesday as usual. So let's get into the slew of news from Monday. The Marlins hit us with a few bangers to start the day. A.J. Puck was scratched from his start on Monday due to an illness, they say. We'll see. Is it I can't throw in the rotation on this or a real illness? Time will tell. There is yet to be word on whether Puck will make his next start or head to the bullpen, because there's openings for both. Edward Cabrera was supposed to throw another rehab assignment on Thursday. That got scratched as Edward Cabrera made the start on Monday for the Miami Marlins to take Puck's spot in the rotation. And Cabrera was outstanding against the Giants. Six innings, one run, one walk, which is oh so important with Edward Cabrera, and 10 strikeouts. He looked filthy. Too bad the bullpen blew the game for him. If the rotation does not change, Cabrera should face the Cubs on Sunday and then a really nice matchup versus the Nationals next week. As long as Cabrera can stay away from the walks, he's always been a promising arm on the mound. More starting pitching news from the Marlins. Braxton Garrett. Many expected Braxton Garrett to return to the Marlins rotation later this week. That's on hold for now. Garrett came out of his recent bullpen with dead arm. They're saying it has nothing to do with the shoulder injury that Garrett has been rehabbing, but we shall see. More testing to be done on Garrett's arm to determine the severity and the duration he will be shut down for. There's optimism saying he might not miss any time, but let's wait and see here. They've already taken it this long to get the shoulder back. Why rush back dead arm with a very talented arm like Braxton Garrett? Here was one of the bigger surprises for some on Monday. With all these moving pieces in the rotation, Max Meyer is the odd man out in Miami. This was an odd one. He's been sent back to AAA. Meyer has been solid in his first three starts, allowing four earned runs over 17 innings with 14 strikeouts. Meyer returned this year after Tommy John surgery, so we had expectations that the Marlins would monitor his innings and kind of limit things here and there. But the fact he started out with the team out of camp was a good sign. The Marlins want to send him back to AAA and slow things down, they said, a la Yuri Perez last year. We saw how that turned out. Meyer's supposed to go down, maybe make one start a week, throw three or so innings, and kind of slow play the innings and eventually return to the Marlins to finish things off, again, like Yuri Perez last year. Massive bummer when it comes to Max Myers. He's been a very nice fantasy asset. I'm pretty sure you can drop him in most formats, barring some more news. If you want to wait a few days for more news, that's understandable. Jake Berger kind of hit on this yesterday. He was officially placed on the IL with an oblique injury. On Monday, Otto Lopez was recalled. Otto Lopez is more of a utility player, so nothing too fantasy relevant there just yet. Emmanuel Rivera will see most of the at-bats at third base. Rivera made the start at third base on Monday in place of Berger. Berger did say that the oblique injury resembles the injury he sustained last year with the White Sox, where Berger only missed 10 games, and he came back smashing baseballs. So time will tell for the big man, Jake Berger. Last bit of Marlins news is kind of a minor bit here. Christian Betancourt was placed on the IL with a viral illness. Kind of wondering if that's what Puck has, but you need a backup catcher, so you just IL Betancourt kind of thing. Johnny Parada was called up to be the backup catcher for the Marlins. We'll wait and see more on that. Boston Red Sox, Sedan Rafaela and Willier Abreu. Some news here. Rafaela got the start at shortstop on Monday on Patriots Day in Boston with Abreu in the outfield. Alex Cora said he wants Willier Abreu to start every game versus right-handed pitchings from now on. So that could lead to more Rafaela starts in the infield. It could also lead to more days off for Rafaela as he is not performing very well at the plate at the moment. So we'll have to monitor this situation going forward as Rafaela has a ton of upside, just has not cracked it just yet this season. Emmett Sheehan of the Los Angeles Dodgers was once again shut down on his rehab from shoulder injury. This time reports say Sheehan's shoulder is fine. It's now a forearm injury. An MRI showed no damage to the flexor tendon for Sheehan, and Sheehan is hoping to start throwing again later this week. Bobby Miller, we told you he was optimistic about his elbow issue here recently. Miller said his shoulder has been nagging him, his shoulder has been nagging him for a few weeks, and the IL stint stops him from further injuring himself. There's no timetable for Miller's return just yet, but Miller hopes to start throwing within a week. We'll see. I think you might want to slow play Bobby Miller. Some other information on the Dodgers rotation plan. Dave Roberts said a pitcher will be scheduled to throw on Tuesday or Thursday with a bullpen game the other day, whichever day the starter doesn't go. Yoshinobu Yamamoto will be pushed back to Friday, keeping him on his once-a-week throwing program. Now, some of the options for the Dodgers, Kyle Hurt has been called up from AAA. He made two appearances out of the pen for the Dodgers already, and then two appearances for AAA. He's made four appearances total, 8 2/3 innings, basically 2 2/3 in all of his outings. Landon Knack, another prospect arm, is rumored to be called up for one of these games. So it kind of feels like one game will be Kyle Hurt with Ryan Yarbrough. Another game might be Landon Knack. Keep an eye on that, but that should be the next 2 days of Dodgers action there with Yamamoto going back to Friday. Some more Boston news that took place in their Patriots Day game. Tyler O'Neill and Rafael Devers had a nasty collision on a fly ball in shallow left field. Devers stayed into the game to play. O'Neill had to leave the game, though. He received stitches and is going through concussion protocol, which there should be more information on Tuesday. Devers appears to be fine and should be in the lineup again on Tuesday. It was his first game back from his shoulder injury. Max Scherzer, the Texas Rangers, threw a 40-pitch simulated game on Monday, and all went well. Scherzer was pumped. Of course he's pumped. That's what Scherzer does. Scherzer's targeting an early May return, meaning some rehab starts should be right around the corner. Danny Jansen of the Toronto Blue Jays was activated from the IL on Monday, which is great to see. Brian Servin was sent back to AAA for the Blue Jays. Jansen was not in the lineup on Monday, but expect Jansen to get back into his normal at least 50-50 split to 60-40 split with Alejandro Kirk, as Kirk has not been hitting worth a lick since Jansen's been out. Some more positive Blue Jays news. Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson were in Toronto on Monday, and rumors are both will be activated on Tuesday, meaning Eric Swanson back to the 8th, Jordan Romano back to the 9th, more likely than not. Kudos to Jimmy Garcia and Chad Green, both picking up two saves while they held down the fort for the back end of the Blue Jays bullpen. Kyle Bradish of the Baltimore Orioles will make his first rehab start at AA on Tuesday. The goal is for Bradish to go 2 to 3 innings or 40 to 50 pitches. Bradish will likely need 3 to 4 rehab starts, so an early May return seems likely for one of the Orioles' top rotation arms. Salvador Perez was out of Monday's lineup with a mild groin strain that he suffered on a sliding incident on Sunday, but does not appear to be too serious, according to the Royals. And Salvi Perez backed that up as he reached out on Twitter to a fan that flew in from Latin America to see the Royals and Salvi Perez, and he was bummed that Salvi was out. And Salvi said, "Don't worry, I'll be in the lineup on Tuesday." We'll see. Players are always optimistic, but pretty cool to see Salvi reaching out to his fans that way. Justin Verlander appears ready to rock and roll. He's completed his rehab starts through he's scheduled to throw a bullpen on Tuesday. If all goes well on Verlander's bullpen on Tuesday, Verlander will rejoin the Astros rotation in Washington this weekend. Framber Valdez kept saying it's a minor injury, nothing to worry about, just some soreness, some inflammation. He played catch on Monday. All went well. Framber said he shouldn't even need a rehab appearance. We'll see. Time will tell on that one. The Astros really need some solid starting pitching, so they're going to make sure Valdez is ready to rock and roll for the rest of the year once they bring him back. But you never know. We could see Valdez this weekend in Washington after Verlander. Robert Stevenson of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim is being evaluated for elbow soreness. This elbow soreness occurred when he left his last rehab outing due to he's been rehabbing his shoulder injury. Apparently, a shoulder injury is fine. This is a new injury, and more testing will be done on Tuesday. Seiya Suzuki of the Chicago Cubs. This was a gut punch. Suzuki has been crushing to start the season. He now hits the IL with an oblique injury. Suzuki had an oblique injury to his left side. This is a right side oblique, though, so that's a positive. But he had a left side oblique injury to start last season, which sidelined him for 6 weeks. This injury does not look as severe, but we shall see. Alexander Canario was recalled from AAA, where he's hitting .269 with 2 home runs and over 10 games to start the AAA season. A weird one here. Brendan Rodgers was scratched from Monday's lineup, but no news was reported by the Rockies of why he was scratched. Guess we'll have to wait and see till tomorrow. Eloy Jimenez was reinstated from the IL on Monday for the Chicago White Sox. He was not in the lineup, as the White Sox said they want to ease him back into the lineup. Eloy did pinch hit to no avail. and they are hoping to have him back on Tuesday. Jonathan Cannon of the Chicago White Sox, after Nick Nastrini made his White Sox debut on Monday, Cannon will get the start on Tuesday. Cannon's a 2022 third-round pick. He's thrown 9 2/3 innings while allowing 3 earned runs with 11 strikeouts over 2 starts this AAA season. Like Nastrini, though, Cannon has showcased nice strikeout stuff throughout the minors, but a ton of walks as well. Estuary Ruiz, poetic justice. Mentioned recently, Ruiz has been crushing it in AAA. There's kind of a financial thing going on down there. Well, on Monday, J.D. Davis hit the IL with a right adductor strain, and Ruiz was recalled from AAA. He did not start the game, but he came in to pinch hit later and hit a home run in his pinch hit at-bat, stayed in the game as a defensive replacement. Abraham Toro played third base in Davis's absence. That'll be a monitor situation at third base for the A's. But hopefully we can get some Ruiz run. Maybe he's starting to hit more than just a rabbit. We shall see. Brandon Drury of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim left Monday's game with a bit of a hamstring injury, according to Ron Washington. The Angels will evaluate Drury further on Tuesday. Luis Rengifo came in to take Drury's spot in the lineup and play second base. Josh Lowe of the Tampa Bay Rays has been kind of quiet on the Josh Lowe front. He's been kind of working his way back from his injuries, but the Rays are saying Josh Lowe is scheduled to join AAA Durham later this week to begin a rehab assignment. There's no set timetable that we've seen yet for Lowe's rehab. You'd have to imagine, since he missed most of spring, it's a ramp-up period. Kind of we saw Lars Nootbaar take some time. J.D. Martinez is taking time, stuff like that. You'd imagine Lowe's going to be down there for a couple weeks, in my opinion, but we shall see. All right, before we take a peek at the highlights of the day and look ahead to Tuesday, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. All righty, some hitting highlights from Monday. Jackson Chourio, Milwaukee Brewers, 2-for-4 with a home run. 2 runs scored, 2 RBIs, a walk, and a stolen base. Nice combo meal for the rookie. Chourio's now hitting .259 on the year with 3 home runs, 7 runs scored, 11 RBIs, and 3 stolen bases as he leads off most days for the Milwaukee Brewers. Taylor Ward, 2-for-5 with a home run, 2 runs scored, and 2 RBIs. I was pounding the desk for people to draft Taylor Ward at his draft value, and it is paying off swimmingly to start the season. Ward is hitting .313 with 6 home runs, 13 runs scored, 19 RBIs and a stolen base so far. Welcome back, Taylor Ward. And then Michael Busch is taking the world by storm. For a while now, people have been saying, Dodgers, you got to find playing time for Michael Busch. They couldn't, so they traded him. Fair enough. Busch went 1-for-3 with a solo shot and 2 walks on Monday in Arizona. Busch is now hitting .327 on the air with 6 home runs. He has homered in 5 straight games. He has 9 home runs and 9 runs scored and 12 RBIs on the season. Michael Busch is crushing it, and he was at start of the year in a platoon. The platoon's kind of gone away during this hot streak. If you want more news on the day's top hitters, make sure you check out the Daily Batters Box article on pitcherlist.com. Some starting pitching highlights from Monday. Seth Lugo, White Sox, garbage. Seth Lugo, 7 innings pitched, no earned, 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks against the White Sox. Lugo had 9 whiffs and a 29% CSW on 99 pitches. Lugo's been pretty good for the Royals to start the season. Over 4 starts, Lugo's 3-0 with only 3 earned runs over 25 2/3 innings with 13 strikeouts. Sonny Gray made his return to the second start since returning from injury, and he was in Oakland where he's pitched in his career. Gray had 6 shutout innings, 4 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts. Gray had 11 whiffs and a 33% CSW over 72 pitches. I watched most of that start, and it was just easy. It was pretty easy for Gray, just going through the motions. Gray's now made 2 starts since returning, 11 innings pitched, no earned, and 11 Ks with 2 wins in those starts. You're going to guess he's going to be closer to 80, 85 pitches his next time out as the Cardinals keep playing him back into full go. Gray said he'd rather do it with the Cardinals than in AAA, and so far, so good. Cutter Crawford of the Boston Red Sox, 5 2/3 shutout innings on Patriot Day against the Guardians. He allowed 2 hits, no walks, and 6 strikeouts. Crawford had 6 whiffs and a 21% CSW on 92 pitches, and he has been outstanding to start the season. Crawford has thrown 21 1/3 innings with a .42 ERA, 0 home runs, a 10.1 K-9, and a .8 whip to start the season. Make sure you tune into the Plus Pitch Podcast with Nick Pollock and read his daily SP Roundup to get caught up on all things starting pitching. Some relief pitching highlights from Monday. Camilo Duval picked up his second save of the season for the Gigantes, 4-out save in that one in Miami. Craig Kimbrell, back-to-back nights, picked up his 4th save of the year. Kirby Yates, big fab acquisition of the weekend, picked up his 1st save for the Rangers. David Robertson pitched the eighth against, I believe, the 2-3-4 hitters or the 3-4-5 hitters, something like that. So one might say leverage. We'll see, but Yates got the first save there. Jimmy Garcia, as mentioned earlier, picked up his second save for the Jays, but we should get Romano back on Tuesday. Edwin Diaz got the trumpets going in Queens, picked up his fourth save of the year. James McArthur of the Royals picked up his third save. Robert Suarez, sixth save of the year for the Padres as he came in relief because it was a non-save situation until it was a save situation. And Suarez came in, got the job done. Ryan Helsley picked up his sixth save for the Cardinals. And Kyle Finnegan picked up a big Nats win against the Dodgers with his sixth save of the year as well. Make sure you read the Daily Reliever Ranks article on pitcherlist.com for all things relief pitching. Little look ahead to Tuesday's action on the diamond DFS-wise. We got an 11-game main slate at 7:07 Eastern. Pitching, I'm looking here, Logan Gilbert versus the Reds. Gilbert's been great to start the year, strikeouts galore. Brady Singer versus the White Sox, keep targeting the White Sox. Jared Jones versus the Mets, see if he can keep the good times rolling. And it's a little dicey because he's priced about $8,200, but Lance Lynn going into Oakland. We like a lot of pitchers versus Oakland. It's dicey, it's Lance Lynn, but he's still been pretty effective overall this season. Some bats we're going to target, there's some bad pitching. Dodgers versus Patrick Corbin. D-backs versus Kyle Hendricks, I like a lot. Atlanta versus Hunter Brown. And Cubs versus Tommy Henry. So an Arizona-Chicago Cubs game stack could definitely be in order. Some things I'm looking forward to on Tuesday. As a Giants fan, I love watching Jordan Hicks take the bump. He takes the bump in Miami against that Marlins offense. Looking forward to seeing what he can keep doing there. Jose Soriano of the Angels in Tampa Bay. Soriano made the start in his last time out as they're stretching him out. As you know, preseason, he was like a dark horse, you know, backup to Estevez closer type dude. And now they're stretching him out through 60-ish pitches his last time out. The underlying metrics look really good. Looking to see where he goes in this start versus Tampa. Carlos Rodon versus Yusei Kikuchi. That should be a fun matchup. Tanner Bibee versus Garrett Whitlock. Tanner Bibee, bad start, good start, bad start. I really need to see what Bibee's got going here. And he needs to get it going quick. And Whitlock in that Boston rotation continues to be good. So fun matchup, Bibee versus Whitlock. Jared Jones versus the Mets. Jones is must-see TV these days. Young arm, fireballer, good stuff there. And then Brady Singer against the White Sox. Bad White Sox offense. Can Singer keep the good times rolling? Looking forward to checking that out as well. That'll do it, folks. Another episode of the First Pitch Podcast in the books. Before we head on out, make sure y'all check out pitcherlist.com. And more importantly, PL Plus and PL Pro. Become a member. You won't regret it. Get you in the amazing Discord, talking baseball, fantasy baseball, and so much more. Great community of people there. Plus, it gets you the new tools like PLV Plus. They're going to have some new podcast content, articles, and much, much more. And you're the front of the line when everything new comes to Pitcher List. You find out there. Sometimes you get to help trial things out. It's a ton of fun. PL Plus, PL Pro. So go check it out. But that'll do it, folks. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow to recap Tuesday's action on the or Wednesday. Recap Tuesday and preview Wednesday's action on the diamond. But for now, this is your First Pitch Podcast, Tuesday, April 16th edition. Hope you have a great day.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.